I used to know a bloke named Chuck. Chuck looked like the kind of guy who would be easy pickings. If he was walking around a dodgy part of town at night, you would be worried that he would end up mugged. Chuck was a bit scruffy looking, he was a bit scrawny, and he was blind. He wore dark glasses, carried a cane, and wore a VIP badge to say that he was a visually impaired person. Anyone sizing this bloke up, they'd think he is easy pickings. But they'd have been wrong, because Chuck was lethal. He had previously been in an elite army unit, and the reason he was blind was because of an extreme training situation that went wrong. Now, he was blind, legally blind. He could not read a normal book. He needed all kinds of aids and helps to get through normal life. But he was still lethal. One of the things he did in his free time was to run self-defense classes. And imagine going to a self-defense class run by a blind fellow. The blokes thought, this is going to be fun. But they couldn't get a thing past him. Fortunately, he took it easy on them and he didn't kill anyone in his classes, but it showed just how lethal he was. If anyone was to judge Chuck based on his appearance, based on how he looked, based on his blindness, they would have judged him completely wrong. One of Jesus' most well-known sayings is, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged." One of the reasons this saying is so well known is because Christians are often very good at judging others. We're very good at disobeying this command of Jesus. And by judging, I mean it in that negative way we mainly use it. I think most of us are very quick to make negative judgments of people, often based on what a person looks like, or what they're doing, or how they're carrying themselves. We are quick to judge them. And because we're quick to judge, we often judge wrong. But at the same time, and this is where we become hypocrites, at the same time we are quick to judge others and generally get it wrong, we also get it wrong when we are slow to judge ourselves. We don't judge ourselves rightly. We give others a really low score, even though we know nothing about them. But we give ourselves a really high score. And people see through this. They see how people who call themselves Christians do this, and they know what Jesus said. And there's a pretty obvious problem. But there is a bigger problem than what they see. There is a bigger problem than being found out to be a hypocrite. And the bigger problem is that when we judge others, it may reveal that we haven't received Christ. If you're judgmental, maybe you haven't received Christ. Jesus' disciples were pretty quick to judge. One day as they're walking down the road with Jesus, they see a blind man and they know nothing about him, but instantly they judge him. They probably were doing what was common for people to do back then. When they see someone down in the dumps, they see someone with a disability or someone who's poor, they blame the victim. They assume the person is in this situation because they deserve it. Have a look back at verse 1. So in John chapter 9, back at verse 1. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" It's a pretty common way of seeing the world, especially if you're relatively high up the pile. If you are wealthy and healthy, you believe it's because you deserve it. And that means those people down the bottom, well, you think they deserve it too. But Jesus doesn't go anywhere near that kind of thinking. Instead, this blind man is going to be a way Jesus shows that he is the true light of the world. Verse 3, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. What does light do? Well, it makes it possible to see. Because God the Father sent Jesus to be the light of the world, Jesus has a job to do, and his job is to do what light does. He's going to make people see. He's going to make this blind man see, both physically and spiritually. And first up, he does the physical miraculous sign. He gives eyesight to this man. Verse 6, after saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. Do you reckon he trudged home? No, he ran home. He danced his way home. And when he gets there, everyone is astounded. Verse 8, his neighbours and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claim that he was. Others say, no, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am the man. I can't blame these people. You wouldn't believe your eyes either. But they seem to be convinced he's the same bloke, and so they want to know what happened. Verse 10, how then were your eyes opened, they asked. He replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash, so I went and washed, and then I could see. Where is this man? They asked him. I don't know, he said. These people are amazed. They're overwhelmed. It sounds like God has been at work. It sounds like a miracle has happened. And so they take this man to the religious leaders, not to get him in trouble, but surely the religious leaders will want to know. They'll want to see this miracle for themselves. So verse 13, they brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. But when they get to the Pharisees, we meet some profoundly blind people. As the saying goes, there's none so blind as those who will not see. And that's what these religious people are. They are willfully blind. They will not see. And the first reason is they're blinded by religion and tradition. Now, the day this happened was the Sabbath. According to the Old Testament law, it was a day to rest and enjoy God. But under the Pharisaic legal code, they got very specific about exactly what rest and work meant. And so have a listen as we're told exactly how Jesus healed this bloke. Verse 14, now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed and now I see. Now, we know from other accounts that the Pharisees were opposed to healing on the Sabbath. They would have preferred Jesus to let someone suffer, even die, rather than doing doctor's work, doing healing work on a Sabbath. But this one, this healing is even worse. Jesus made some mud, which to a legalistic Pharisee's mind, it's the same as mixing mortar to lay bricks. Now you can ask Owen about whether mixing some mortar and putting a bit of spit and rubbing stuff on the eyes is equivalent kind of work, but for these Pharisees, they don't have any subtlety. They don't see the amazing thing in front of them. They don't care what's happened. Jesus, you've broken our rules. You are a wicked person. Verse 16. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others asked, how can a sinner perform such signs? So they were divided. Then they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened. The man replied, he is a prophet. The Pharisees are divided. Most of them refuse to see. And as the events unfold, it sounds like actually all of them come to the same conclusion. Jesus is a sinner. They're blind, but the blind man, he is starting to see. The Pharisees are blinded by their tradition and religious rules. Is that you? Now, it's true for many or most people in Australia. They're blind to the truth of Jesus because of paganism or atheism or I don't care-ism. But you can be just as blind because of religion. Religion blinds us. Religion makes us think, as long as I am a good person, as long as I keep all the traditions, then I'm not a sinner and I don't need a saviour. I don't need to receive Christ. In fact, Christ would be lucky to have someone like me on his team. As I mentioned before, this week we reflected on the life and ministry of Billy Graham because he changed his address on Wednesday night. When Billy Graham came to Australia in the 50s, 60s and 70s, this was the context he was speaking into. Stadiums full of good religious people. People who knew that they did all the right things. They knew they had all the right traditions. They were moral. They were cultural Christians. They showed up at church, donated to the bake sales, had their kids baptized, painted the church building, but religion was blinding them. Is that you? But Graham proclaimed Christ. He presented the gospel of Jesus, and God was at work calling people to himself, and many religious people had their eyes opened for the first time. Like those Pharisees, has religion blinded you? Do you hold on to your traditions more than you cling to Jesus? Religion and tradition blind us. They stop us from seeing Jesus and receiving him. The next thing that's blinding people back in the Pharisees' day is fear. We see this with the blind man's parents. The Pharisees are still investigating this claim of a miracle, and they call the man's parents as witnesses. But because they're afraid of what people might think, and they're afraid of the consequences, they refuse to see. Verse 18, they still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Is this your son? They asked. Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see? We know that this is our son, the parents answered, and we know he was blind, but how he can now see or who opened his eyes? We don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. For his parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders who already had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, he is of age. Ask him. Alex was the teenage son of a family at church. His family had moved from overseas when he was in grade 10 or 11. It's a tough time of life to move countries, to move schools. But Alex is athletic, funny, and probably good-looking. I'm not one to judge, but probably was good-looking. And when he was in high school, the last thing he wanted was to have anything to do with Jesus because he wanted to fit in. He wanted to be popular. And so, whilst he was at school, he kept Jesus at arm's length because he didn't want to get kicked out of the cool group. He was afraid of what his mates would think. But fortunately, in God's mercy, a few years after school, God gave him eyes to see. Is that you? Are you afraid of what people think? Is it more important to be accepted by others than to accept the truth of Jesus? Is it more important to be thought of as wise, insightful, reasonable by others, than to be known as someone who's crazy enough to think that God the Son took on flesh and died so that we can be friends with God? There's none so blind than those who will not see, and there's two things we've seen so far causing blindness. The first is religion and tradition, which makes people think that they don't need Jesus, they're good enough. And the second is fear of people, being more worried about what people will think or do than we are worried about the truth. The last thing keeping people blind is pride. And we see this starting in verse 24 when the Pharisees do what the parents say and they call in the man for a final interrogation. And by this time, the blind man isn't just physically seeing, but he's spiritually seeing too. Verse 24, a second time they summon the man who had been blind. Give glory to God by telling the truth, they said. We know this man is a sinner. He replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. He's not going to play their games. He's going to stick with the truth that opened his eyes. But the Pharisees aren't willing to see. Verse 26. Then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered, I've told you already and you do not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become this fellow's disciple too? Then they hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. And at this, the blind man, I love him, he just goes into full stride. He starts teaching the Pharisees, which this is amazing because I assume if he's born blind, then he's probably had next to no education. But you don't need degrees or fancy arguments. He had met Jesus and he'd opened his eyes, and so he speaks boldly from his heart. He doesn't care what the Pharisees think. He's not afraid. He doesn't allow tradition or religion to dictate to him. He's gripped by the truth. Verse 30, the man answered, now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Now, at this point, he hasn't quite worked out what the sign points to, but he knows that this healing is a sign. It's a sign from that Jesus comes from God, and that is enough for him. And it's enough for the Pharisees as well. Remember that question the disciples asked at the beginning? Who can you blame for this man's blindness? Is he to blame? Is his parents to blame? But I think as they were judging this fellow, I think they probably had at least the courtesy to whisper it amongst themselves. You know, talk about him behind his back. But the Pharisees aren't that subtle. They go public with their hypocritical judging. And they put this man back in his place. How dare you speak to us like this? You're nothing. This is your own fault. You're just another beggar who's brought blindness and poverty on himself. Verse 34, to this they replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. But Jesus is not like the Pharisees. He doesn't kick out the man. He welcomes him. Verse 35, Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me so that I may believe in him. Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. Then the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. He's been cured of double blindness. Yes, he's seen Jesus face to face, eye to eye, but more than that, he's seen Jesus for who he really is. But the Pharisees are still blind. Verse 39, Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, what are we blind to? Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. That's pretty damning, isn't it? What Jesus is saying is that for people who are humble and who recognize their blindness, Jesus has come for those who realize that they are needy for a savior. But for those who are blinded by their pride, who think they can see, people who think their religion and laws give them insight and understanding, people who think they are better than others and judge others, they're not going to see the truth. They're not going to see that they need a saviour, and so they will remain in their sin and face the judgment that Jesus came to bring. Do you know that you are blind without Jesus? Or are you blind but won't accept it? This is the big risk, the big danger of being judgmental. When you're busy looking at other people and seeing their faults and blaming them for the situations they're in, the message you're preaching to yourself, the message you're putting in your heart is, I am better than them. I'm strong. I'm good. I'm capable. And when you believe this, you will never come to Jesus for forgiveness. Judging others is deadly dangerous. It's dangerous because you'll probably get it wrong. Like people who look at Chuck and think he's defenseless, they were wrong, and because they're wrong, they'll end up looking like fools, won't they, when they get smacked down by Chuck. Or those disciples who thought that the blind man had only his own sin or his parents to blame, but his blindness had nothing to do with sin. Judging others is dangerous because you'll get it wrong, and you'll end up looking like a jerk. But that's not the half of it, is it? Judging others is dangerous because you think you can see, which you think that you're better than others, which means you think you're without sin, and so you don't need Jesus. That is a deadly lie to be trapped in, because Jesus says your guilt remains. Are you blind? You may think you can see, but that probably means that you are blind. But if you are blind, and you know you are blind, Jesus came to give you sight. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saves a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Let's pray. Father God, like the disciples, we know we are quick to judge. Help us to know how dangerous it is to judge, not merely because we so often jump to the wrong conclusions, but because judging is saying a lie about ourselves. When we judge, we are lying to think we are better, that we don't need a saviour, that we know the truth in ourselves. Help us not to judge others, but to judge ourselves truly. May we be able to say, like the man, I was blind, but now I see. Give us sight through Jesus. And we ask this for our region. May you be giving loads and loads of people sight, that they might find life in Jesus too. In whose name we pray. Amen.